Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We are your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going today?
Jake, I am doing great, and I'm excited for the show because my journey to financial freedom and to personally financially engineering my life has come with ups and downs. There's been struggles, there's been epiphanies, and I'm really here to share this with the listeners today because it's been a long journey and it's been a lot of learning lessons. You know, smart people learn from their mistakes. I'm a smart person. I want the listeners to be wise people. I want them to learn from our mistakes. Wise people learning from others' mistakes. And that's why you listen to these podcasts. And that's why I want to share all this information today with the listeners out there.
Well, hey, that's the best thing we can do is not tell you what to do, but share what we've done. And hopefully it shortens your learning curve. And that's why we have a special episode today. Today, we are looking at what we call the middle class trap, and we're going to analyze Dave Ramsey's advice on investing. So Gino, what was the inspiration on this one?
Well, like I said, Jake, I was fed a bunch of lies early on, you know, 25, 30 years ago. We've all read
that. Sounds like a victim mentality, man. I don't know about that.
Well, and that's part of the mindset, right? For those of you out there that read the Purple Bible, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's what I call it. Once I picked up that book, I realized all of the lies that were being fed. It worked for previous generations. When you what got lies? A job, when you had defined benefits, you then they went to the 401k, then they started devaluing the dollar, then they started printing tons of money, and then job security was gone. And all of that changed. The internet comes around. That's a big disruption. So in my generation, you know, I got out of college in 1992. So I'm an old timer for a lot of you listening
out there. You look good, man.
Bro, you got to keep in shape. You know, you got to take care of yourself. Personal responsibility now. But for me, Jake, in 92, I was living the dream. We started a small business, a small restaurant. And for 15 years, we did phenomenal. It fed three families, a 70-seat, a little Italian restaurant. I did great. But then what happened? Taxes came about. Health insurance came about. New York State started becoming crazy to do business. It just got out of control.
You know, I had 45 kids.
But you know what? I have 45 kids. Whatever the kids now, what I'm doing right now is I created the net worth and I created the cash flow and I created the generational wealth from building a business and from not listening to other gurus and from figuring it out myself. And that was really a real epiphany for me, Jake, because I would have had more kids, to be completely honest with you. And I only have 6 kids. For some of you, that may be a lot. For some of you, that may be, hey, you know, I have more. And that is one of the things that challenged me early on, because I was always worried about, am I making enough money? Are these kids going to cost me enough? Did I know early on that if I bought an asset and that asset helped me pay for my kids' college and my kids' weddings and my retirement, that I would have had more? Yes, but I didn't know that early on. I was stressing out. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to afford this? And that's what financial unintelligence did to me. I didn't know. I was saving for these events instead of saving for the assets to buy the events. I was a great saver. But in this economy, you can't save. You know why? I'll give you a little history, everybody. In 1971, Nixon severed the link between gold and the dollar. Yeah, great. You know, we're getting the dollars back. Yeah, what did that do? It created stagflation. Well, what's going on in the economy right now? Ha ha, stagflation. The US dollar sank by 33% when that happened. All of a sudden, inflation occurs. So your parents out there who bought a house in the 1970s through no fault of their own for $25,000, they're selling houses for $800,000, $900,000 just from what happened back then 30, 40 years ago. That's a little history lesson. Once government starts tampering, starts pumping dollars into the system, what ends up happening? Your currency is worthless. So what? Who won? But really, who won back then? The government won? Anyone who's borrowing money won? And all the asset owners, they won. And who lost? The savers and the middle class. And guess what? I was stuck in the middle class and I was losing and I didn't know why. I'm working harder. I'm making money. I'm saving it, but it costs more and more every year to buy something. That was frustrating to me. I didn't understand it because we're not taught this in school until I realized I need to start buying hard assets. I opened up my eyes one day and said, huh, what are successful people out there doing that I am not? This is back in 2008 when I read the book, but you know, from T. Harv Eker. I always talk about this story. It's The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. He says, it's not the economy. It's not business. It's you, Gino. Go out there and find what other people are doing. And that's what I did. I went out and I realized that people who are really successful in that part of the economy, continuing now, are buying assets, are investing in their education, are learning different skills, are worrying about who they're surrounding themselves with. And Jake had mentioned the name Dave Ramsey. He is a great place to start, but he's only the starting point for you. if you have your house in or financial order, like I did, I wasn't spending more than I was saving. I had my savings account all aligned. I was done with him. I didn't have any debt. I didn't need a debt snowball. I didn't have credit cards. I was making good money in New York, and I still couldn't save to buy assets because of the inflation and because of all the taxes and all of my other expenses. So Dave Ramsey is a good place to start. Don't get me wrong. But then when you're telling me to cut up my credit cards, go try to do something about a credit card today. Good luck with that. You need credit nowadays. I don't care what anybody says. Now, if you have a problem or an addiction to spending, maybe you should be one of the 10% or 3% or 1% of the population that needs to cut them. But the vast majority of them can use them wisely, other people's money. And Jake is probably going to whip out his card and show you how he uses his credit cards to get money back. See, I'm a mind reader, bro.
I'm not whipping it out, man.
I feel you. And that's a credit card situation. And he's telling you, don't take on debt. Now, Jake and I, we don't have personal debt. I had a smaller mortgage back in New York. I didn't take on personal debt. But for those of us that are not taking on business debt, we are not creating wealth. And what I mean by that is when Jake and I buy an asset, let's say for $1 million, we're taking 80% of that $1 million and we're partnering with the bank. The bank is giving us $800,000, that $1 million. We're putting $200,000 down. When that asset is worth $1.2 million, it went up $200,000. How much money did we put down on that property? We put down $200,000. We just earned $200,000. We made 100% return on our money. It's amazing when you think about it. Debt creates wealth. And on the flip side of that, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, that $800,000 mortgage is cheaper because the dollars inflate and the dollars are worth less. So you're paying back that mortgage with less dollars. So for anybody out there telling you that debt is bad, they don't understand the difference between personal debt, which is not good, and business debt, which is what you want. You want to lever up your business life to pay for your personal life. That was the epiphany for me, Jake. I was stuck in the mud. For those of you out there in the rat race, working every week, saving a little bit, then having to go on vacation and worrying about your kids' braces and worrying about the car breaking down. That was happening to me. I had the money saved, but then I would spend using on that. And I'm trying to squirrel some money away into these 529 accounts and 401k accounts. And I'm giving away the power of my money to someone else to make decisions for someone else. And that really, really got me going, Jake.
So I think Gino just punched you in the face. Now you have a black eye. So we're going to take a step back and analyze what he said, because it all comes down to you. What do you need? Okay. Are you one of the millions of people out there, and no disrespect, but are in a bad place right now? You've racked up a lot of personal debt and you need to start from the beginning. Dave Ramsey is a great starting point. Okay. If you have very low financial, personal financial IQ, and it's okay to admit it, like we've all been there, right? You just start somewhere. If you've racked up debt, or you know, you've racked up a lot of debt and you just need to get whole or get to the baseline, Dave Ramsey is a starting point, but it's very elementary stuff. Okay. If you want a life of abundance, if you want more out of life, if you want to really try to feel all the good that you can do within the United States from a financial perspective, you're going to have to go much further than that. So that's the very basic starting point. On the flip side, if you align with, and I just learned this the other day, I think it's called the FIRE movement, which is, you know, people basically living in vans down by the creek and not having any debt and just, you know, living off whatever, you know, with $200,000 and finding the way to make it through. That's great. Because ultimately you need to look inwards and find out what's important to you. So if you're good with the FIRE movement and you want to have $200,000 and go from there, more power to you. We got no problem with that. I think that's fantastic. You found your you know, little spot in this world that's going to make you happy and you're executing. Heck yes. If you want more, and that's, you know, personal decision, we always strive for a life of abundance so we can do a bunch of things and impact a lot of lives and that's our thing, then you're going to have to find a way to utilize debt to your advantage. Now, we like long-term, non-recourse, fixed-rate debt, okay? With, you know, income-producing properties that will pay that down over time. I don't think there's an appetite for the government to stop printing money. They're talking like that, but give them another 2 years, and I'm sure they'll be right back at it again. Dollar will devalue over time. Properties will continue to appreciate. Look, we're not saying like maybe the next year is bumpy or whatever, could be, but we're long-term investors here, okay? We're thinking in decades. So we're very, very bullish on the long-term performance of multifamily assets. in growth markets.
Jake, I didn't mean to punch anybody in the face coming out hard.
No, you're just bringing some heat, man. And it's good. I love the passion. So
the other thing I want to say right before we jump into the next question, or we segue into the next point, Dave Ramsey's mentality is right. Everyone listening on this show right now, we all need to be financial stewards of our money. And I love that because I'm a financial steward of my money and I want to create legacy wealth and I want to create legacy skills. I want to be able to hand them down to future generations. So that's a great thing that I pulled from Dave Ramsey. He's really talking about personal responsibility. And what I love what Jake said is you do you, whatever you feel comfortable with. I don't want to live a life of scarcity. The FIRE movement, mm-hmm. financial independence, retire early. I don't want to be able to squirrel away $3 million.
Tough with inflation too, right?
Yes, and then have to pull away 4% a year and have to worry about that. I have 6 children. I want to live a life of abundance. I don't really want to retire. I love what I'm doing. I finally figured out what I love to do. Why would I retire? I want to continue to create wealth, continue to chase opportunities, which will attract money to me. And then I'll use that money for other things. But ultimately, Dave Ramsey's right. We need to be financial stewards of our money, of our families, and of our communities. And we need to be the leaders because everyone listening to the show right now, I know you're an entrepreneur and that's what entrepreneurs are created to do. We're created to solve the tough problems today. And if we don't make money and we don't have solutions and we don't create value, then we're not going to do that, Jake.
Yeah. And listen, if you can go out there and make millions and billions of dollars without taking on any debt, that's awesome. Full transparency, we do use non-recourse bank debt, but we don't raise money from others typically. That's not, you know, typically our thing. And so, look, I get it. And some people have to go out there and raise money to get into their first deals and things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the big thing is that we accept things for what they are and we figure out the game. Because Gino was touching on like the sacred cows early on, like the things that were going through his life and all the things that our parents have influenced us with, that money doesn't grow on trees and you can't take risks and all this stuff. So there's a lot of things that we have to unpack to get to the next level. And that's why so many people are stuck and struggling, but you need to look inwards and rely on yourself because no one's going to fix it for you. It's on you. You need to be a responsibility junkie and handle your business. And on top of that, you need to be a student of the game. All this is, look, everything that's in our economy is produced by another person. The government set up the structure. There's tax incentives for those who buy real estate and hold it for the long term. These things that are there that you need to understand, and it's your responsibility, no one else's. And if you don't figure it out, you're going to get left behind. There's people out there, Gino, myself, there's plenty of others out there that are teaching this stuff, but you need to open up your ears and listen and get out of the 401k trap because that's ultimately a rat race. You're never going to truly get ahead by doing that. And you're going to work till you're dead to hopefully enjoy, you know, a couple years of retirement. It just doesn't make any sense to me in the long term. So with that all being said, Gino, talk about the use of business debt and how to create equity and cash flow.
We've coined a strategy. It's called the conveyor belt model. And for those of you that are in real estate, think of an imaginary conveyor belt. On year one, you buy your first deal. It goes onto this conveyor belt. And as the years pass, the conveyor belt, the deals matriculate. Year two, year three, all of a sudden you're paying down debt. The value goes up because you raise rents or you raise the NOI. On year three, you got equity in that property. What do? You can either refinance a property. Jake and I have refinanced over $25 million on our property. And big shout out to Byron in the Jake and Gino community. He just refied out $200,000 on a $1 million deal. So it's a commercial property. Was it easy? No, but he had the relationship and he pulled out 200 grand. So on that conveyor belt, year three, you pull the money out, you still own the asset. It's a tax-free loan because it's basically a loan back to you. You don't pay that taxes back until you sell the property, but you can do a 1031 and defer the taxes continually. See how the wealthy continue to generate wealth? It's not what they make, it's what they keep, which is really important. Mm-hmm. So on this conveyor belt, on year three, you refi the money, this deal keeps going. That's where you get equity and you repurpose the equity into another deal. That's what Jake and I did to go from 0 units to over 1500 units in less than 5 years. We did it in less than 5 years. You keep stacking those deals in conveyor belt. Year two, you've got another deal. Year three, you may start out with a duplex. Year one, Logan Rankin, first 3 years, he had 7 units. Year four, 80 units. Year five, 500 units. You start figuring it out. And once you start stacking that conveyor belt, equity leads to more deals. And equity leads to cash flow. You need to create that equity for that cash flow. And you need to start continuing to add more assets on that conveyor belt. And like Jake said, in the real estate world, you can do it by partnering with other people, by doing deals yourselves, by syndicating and raising money. You just need to get these deals on that conveyor belt and let them start matriculating. And if you sell a couple, great. But don't take that money like the middle class does. There's a law called the Parkinson's Law. And what the Parkinson's Law basically says is, as Gino starts earning more money, and I'm guilty of this, Gino's lifestyle starts to creep up.
Good thing to be guilty of.
I'm guilty of a lot of things, and that's one of them. And not up until recently, I would make a raise. I make some more bucks during Christmas time because the restaurant was busy. And what would Gino do? Gino would go out and spend a little bit more money. Instead of what Gino should do, save that money to buy an asset. Complete mind shift. What do I care what the Joneses are doing? All of a sudden, live poor, because one day you'll wake up and go, I can afford that, but I don't even need that. And then all of a sudden you'll start saving 80 to 90% of your income and go, wow, I could only save 5% 5 years ago. Now I'm saving 90%. And that's when you really start living a life of abundance, because you don't need to work. You want to work. And there's the difference to me, I think, is that's where I want all of you on this call to get to. You want to be able to work. So that Parkinson's Law, watch out. As you start elevating the income, don't start go out there and start elevating your personal expenses. Save that income, take it off the top as if you never had it, and then start buying assets with it. And maybe that cash flow that you get from those assets can help you buy a car, or can help you go on a couple of vacations, or maybe buy that second, you know, family home that you can use as a short-term rental. You're buying an asset and you're using it as personal as well. See, that's what the wealthy do. They really know where their income statement and their balance sheet, and they see where the flow of money is going to. Is money coming into their pockets, or is money going out of their pockets? And how are they paying for their expenses? Are you paying for your expenses through your W-2? Or are you paying your expenses like Jake and I through our properties? We're paying them through our properties, and that's the amazing way to do it. So you have to understand financial intelligence and these words that we're using. Kiyosaki says it best. When you go to school, you get a report card. When you're out in the real world, your financial report card is all that matters to a banker, to an investor, or to a partner. So you have to start learning all of these words.
You know, mentioned that when you can save 80 to 90% of your income, things get really interesting. And that is so true, because one of our favorite books is The Richest Man in Babylon. And one of the laws of money in that book is to save 10%. When you can flip that, things get very interesting, because then all of a sudden you're saving 80 to 90% and that money is just going in to buy more assets. And that's when that snowball really starts chugging along. And then it starts spitting off some serious cash flow over time. So look, and it's going to take time to get there. It's not going to happen overnight. But in a good, 5 to 10 years, you can really get there and really kick ass with this strategy.
This is why it's called the 100-year real estate investor, though.
That's right.
I mean, we're not getting rich over time. And let me tell you something. My life completely changed within a decade. Within 10 years, I went from struggling, doing okay, paying bills, getting pissed off every time I got a bill for the dentist, every time I had to go on a plane and pay to go on a plane. Now it's like, it's an annoyance, but I don't think about it twice. Yeah. And it's like a pimple on my ass right now. Whereas before it was a big sore and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go get surgery on this thing. Now it's like, okay. And that's what, to me, financial freedom is all about. I want you all really to think about what financial freedom to you is. If it's about going out and buying the jet and buying a Lambo, great. Lock that in. That's your why. That's awesome. To me, it was just, I wanted my family to be provided for. I wanted to really find a job and a business like Jake and Gina that we created, that I wanted to get up every morning and come to work and really be motivated and be excited. We're going to our Finance Right Bootcamp this weekend. It's July 9th and 10th in Kansas City. There's going to be over 100 students there. We're going to have for the event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to network with them. I have these invigorating, conversations. That peer group is amazing. They're pushing me to get better, and we're teaching them how to buy multifamily. Can you imagine being in a room with 100 other people who have similar goals as you do, similar aspirations as you do, similar core values as you do, and you don't have to be there, but you want to be there? That's a leading a life of empowerment. That's what financial freedom has allowed me to do in less than a decade, everybody.
Yeah, without the limiting beliefs, without the sacred cows, all this crap that you're getting at home potentially. And really what Gino's saying is that the asset winners are the real winners in this economy that's been created, because ultimately there's the tax advantages and the hedge against inflation. Don't sleep on those two, because it's huge. Gino mentioned earlier, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And with the inflation roaring like it is right now, and gang, ultimately, It's been there for years. It's just been creeping slowly over time, and the dollar's been devaluing. So it's just more pronounced now than ever. So it's coming to the forefront. So don't think it hasn't been there for the last 50 years. It's been real, and it's ultimately been something that, you know, the people that have been buying the assets, buying the buildings, have been winning over time. Now, there's also another opportunity here, Gino, and that's the dual asset strategy. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Jake, this is one of the things that I really struggle with when I listen to Dave Ramsey, because he speaks to the masses, and maybe for the masses, term insurance may be great for them. I don't know. When I
it's
buy
the
an
same
asset,
people at that point in their lives, though, if they can't even cut up the credit cards and they have the debt, that's right for them. Term insurance probably is right for those folks too. So it's where you are, right?
I'm sorry. I love that point. Yeah. But remember, it's mindset. You're renting that asset. I don't want to rent or buy a depreciating asset. I want to own an asset. I want to understand the value of that asset. And for me, early on, I had term insurance. My wife actually got term insurance. We got married. And guess what? It expired 3 years ago. So now we'd had to re-up, and I ended up getting her whole life as well. I wish I'd got it sooner. It's
she
one
was
of those
insured
things
for the time when she was never going to need it. And like a 0.01% chance.
That's right. 99% of all term policies expire. So you're basically throwing money in the garbage. So for me, I'm thinking about the long term. I'm thinking about my estate planning. I'm thinking about a cash management solution. I'm thinking about protecting my assets. All of that happens within a whole life. Are you going to get rich? No. Are you trying to get a rate of return? No. I don't want every one of my dollars. We call them soldiers who are going out there and fighting and trying to earn more soldiers for us. We don't want every single one of them at risk. We want the opportunity cost. If I've got 100 grand in a 401k plan, like I did, and I need that money, and I'm 48 years old, guess what? I got to get penalized taking that money out of there. It's not my money. But if I had 100 grand in my whole life, like I did, I can borrow the money.
But Gino, it's for your own good. We know what's best for you.
You continue that money to compound. You put that money.
We're the government. We're here to help. Okay. Why are you laughing?
Because it's so comical. I bought into that stuff years ago. I just did. I bought into it. I'm like, wow, maybe they are here to help. Yeah, they're here to help themselves. The 401k was started because Wall Street needed more money, more stocks. So guess what? Every week, they're getting a certain amount of money. And oh, by the way, when you turn 7 years old, you need to pull it out. So they're getting money going in because people are putting money in for retirement, and they're getting retirees to sell. So they're getting buys and sells. So genius.
But Gino, can we also lock your money up in a college fund to push it back in institutions?
And if your kids don't go to college, you got to pay us back all the interest because, you know, so it's just,
Gino, it's for your own good.
So this is how the dual asset strategy works. You've got the money in whole life. It's sitting there. It's protected. It's out of sight, out of mind. Its cash value is growing. You can what we call collateralize it. And I'm going to collateralize mine to start another policy. But you collateralize it. You can borrow from the cash value. Jake comes and goes, Gino, we got a deal. We need money. Gino in 2016 said, Jake, I'm going to blow up my 401k. It's 100 grand. I got to pay 10 grand off the top. Gone there. It sat in the plan for years. Didn't earn any money. Didn't have fees. Didn't have control. And guess what? If I had taken it out at the wrong time, when the market went down 60%, it wouldn't have been 100 grand. It would have been 60 grand. So you have no opportunity costs. You have no control. And you're in business with the government. They can change laws and rules anytime on these plans. No, thank you. So I had the money in the whole life, borrowed it out. It continues to keep compounding at the rate of interest return that it's getting inside the policy. I take a policy loan. I put the money into the deal with Jake. As that deal cash flows, I pay the policy loan back. Once that policy loan is made whole, guess what? The cash value is I'm able to access it once again. And I have a multifamily deal. I have an asset that's cash flowing. So guess what? Instead of renting this one and buying this one like this, I borrowed the money from one asset, put it into another asset, and now I have two assets. I wish somebody told me this 15 years ago.
Well, you know, I think someone did, and you got a policy, man. I think you've been using it.
I never used it properly. I didn't use it that way. And I bought myself term insurance as well. I wish I had bought myself more whole life because I was younger. I was more insurable. It was less expensive. This is one of the things in life when people say, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the next best time? Today. It's the same thing with whole life.
When's the best time to buy a multifamily asset? Well, it was 5 years ago. Same stuff. It's the same stuff.
And that's what I'm trying to make people understand. Everyone there for this kind of investment, it's not called an investment, it's called an asset. For this type of asset, it is really appropriate for anyone who's putting money into a 401k, putting money into a 529. I would rather have that money in this type of policy where I can borrow out if I need to, if I have access to it. I've got a death benefit. I'm thinking about my estate long term. It's such a much more viable option than these other traditional plans out there.
And gang, look, we said it before. We don't know what's best for you. We know what's best for us. We like ownership. We like equity. We like owning apartments, not renting them. We like owning insurance, not renting it. If you want to find out more about what we're doing, go to 100-year. It's 100yearrei.com. And you can learn more about the dual asset strategy there. Gino, love the passion today. Love that purple shirt. Purple passion fruit, baby. You're getting after it. Gang, it's been fun, and we'll see you next time.